You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
From St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm John Shannon.
From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, I'm Ed Van Ness. This is the Taxi Stand Hour.
You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. We almost had that, right?
We'll get better at that. That was the first time we tried that.
And it sounded wonderful.
Yeah, except for the fact that we screwed it up. I was thinking to myself last night, actually this morning as well, today's going to be the day. It's going to be a glitch-free show. Today's the day. Welcome to Big Time Professional Radio, everybody.
Well, of course. And people have to understand when they listen to this thing to begin with that I think we're pretty good cab drivers, but when it comes right down to it, when it comes down to radio professionals, we're rank amateurs. Cut us some slack.
Questionable at best.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man, what a week, what a week.
Tell me about it. How are you today, young man?
Oh, tired. I did an Ed Van Ness and slept in until 9:30 your time.
Shocking. Appalling. A severe lack of dedication to the cause here.
No, I know, right?
There's a tiki torch with your name on it somewhere at Lowe's.
Oh, I would like to find one of those tiki torches and stick it squarely up somebody's ass.
What are we doing today?
Well, we want to today actually get into some of the things. We're going to take a long, hard look in the mirror here. Some of the things that this industry, the taxi industry, has fallen into over time, over the last 30, 40 years, maybe 50 years, of bad habits that have really hurt this industry, and quite frankly, what we are going to need to do if we are going to try to even remotely compete with this predator that has come into the transportation market known as Uber, and on a lesser degree, it's hard to say with Lyft, but maybe at a lesser degree, Lyft. And this is important. This is important shit, man. We got to really sit and think about what it is we need to do as an industry to try to win back the customers. You know, and it obviously isn't enough that at least, you know, two or three times a week you see stories on the news about, you know, this girl was raped by an Uber driver. This guy was beaten by an Uber driver. It obviously isn't enough to scare these people away.
No,
that's what we're going to talk about today. What are we going to do?
Excellent. Excellent. I wish I had known that in advance. I did. I know.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Before we do that, let's take care of a little housekeeping. For starters, we would be remiss if we did not touch base on the events of the past week. At some point, we'll go a much deeper into this, but we were on the air last week when Charlottesville really got kooky, and of course, we've been off the air all week with President Dumbshit. I happen to agree with what a lot of people have said lately, which is there's one thing we all agreed on across the whole planet. Nazis bad. There seemed to be the only thing anybody ever agreed on. Well, clearly that's not the case as far as El Presidente is concerned. So as a very quick story, I was at my cardiologist this week. He happens to be a gentleman from Haiti. He's very good doctor, and his assistant, another doctor, she's Hispanic, and we were chatting about this whole thing. And after a while, I said, now, how do you think some of these neo-nutheads would feel if they walked into this room and finally had the realization that the least successful, least educated person in the room was the white guy? And as a white guy, I apologize to everybody I ran into this week. I feel white guys really dropped the ball this week.
Well, you know, it was funny that when, like you said, this had really just started unwinding when we were going on the show last week. I feel bad because, you know, the thing is on some of the other shows I've done, I've actually had a Twitter feed going, so I constantly see what was going on in the news. And I, with something like that, we'd have probably would have dropped the, would have dropped what we were doing and talked about it, because that's important. This Charlottesville is probably one of the most important events in this country's recent history, as far as dealing with where we are right now in this country. You know, I just think that we have turned in an ugly corner. Right now, the white supremacists, the neo-Nazis, have come out of the closet, if you will, and now they are, it seems like they're starting to get their marching orders, and it seems like they're picking up a little bit of steam here, and this is gonna get ugly real quick, I'm afraid.
Here's what I feel about the whole thing, is I truly feel that Donald Trump is hell-bent on getting us involved not one but two wars, a civil and a world war.
Uh-huh.
So that's, and yet Steve Bannon gone. Yay, goodbye. Although he's going to give Trump hell from the outside. So what do you say we put a pin in that for the time?
Well, because quite frankly, it's depressing.
Well, there's you know, too. We have a lot to get to today, and for the first time in the history of this show, it'd be very nice to see if we could actually stick by what we said we were going to talk about.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. by the way, if you're listening on Radio TFI, you want to get into the conversation, we have made it much, 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 much easier to do so.
How did we do that?
We decided to go all out Skype here.
Wow.
So you want to join in the conversation, all you got to do is, if you have a Skype account, all you got to do is search Radio TFI. Join in the conversation. We're here to listen, especially on this topic, because let's face it, you know, Ed and I, you know, there is nearly 70 years combined experience in this industry here, but you know, who knows? Maybe there's some fresh blood that has fresh ideas that would come into the conversation. Either give us an idea, or quite frankly, tell us whatever it is you might be doing in your neck of the woods. You know, I gotta believe that we up here in Minnesota with our company can't be the only company that is somehow managing to fight off Uber to an extent where we actually have business. Yesterday as a case in point, and there was no real reason for it. Yesterday I had more private pay fares than I did these account medical runs and other account runs that I had. So there are people out there that are still taking taxis up here in Minnesota. And we need to start trying to, I don't know why this is starting to trend this way. Maybe my company is doing some things I don't know to promote business. I have no idea, to tell you the truth. I haven't really talked to the CEO of our company in the last couple of weeks, so I don't know what's going on. But hey, the fact is we need to try to look in the mirror here. I guess that's probably it. We need to look in the mirror and see why the hell or what we can do to start bringing some of this business back.
So that's Radio TFI on Skype. Look us up. We're here. We'll answer the call. And without screening it. That's only because we're still not sure what we're doing with it. So a couple of housekeeping issues here, kids and kittens. Speaking of Skype, we are currently just getting our toes with using Skype. We have learned that the only audio that John can hear from me is my voice. So if I play anything, he can't hear it. If you were on the phone with us, you will not hear it. We're working around that. It's a minor in-house issue, but an issue nonetheless. Let's see. I will not be... John will be flying solo next week. I have some personal business to tend to. And so John will be here, and he'll be in complete, total control, and God help us all.
I'm going to wreck this.
I'm going to run this train right on the tracks. Let me tell you, I'm the only thing that keeps this thing together. We will both be off for the Labor Day weekend, and we will return with fresh live news Saturday shows on September 9th at 10 a.m., September 9th. The Monday night extravaganza is scheduled to return Monday, September 11th. Now, I'm seriously considering changing that night because it is Monday Night Football after all. So we'll let you know about that. We want to apologize as Radio TFI, as a program, the Taxi Stand Hour, and as individuals. We discussed in some detail last week a video that appeared on Twitter with a nitwit by the name of Baked Alaska. Three white guys in a car with an African-American female Uber driver. She threw them out of the car and all she would say on the video was that she was being racist. Well, we looked at the video, and we kind of made a lot of presumptions about what may have happened. Even gave a little grief as far as how she may have acted unprofessionally. We want to take all that back and send out our apologies because apparently Mr. Baked Alaska was one of the instigators at Charlottesville. So to that young lady that was driving that car, we sincerely apologize for not knowing all the facts. Usually it's amusing the fact that we just go bumbling about in the dark here and spouting off about this, that, and the other thing. In this particular case, it was not fun, it was not funny, and again, we apologize for our ignorance of not knowing who it was. Again, this is what happens when you don't know all the details. And finally...
Exactly.
And finally, for the to clean up the housekeeping, the very first time John and I used Skype, he appeared topless, which, let me tell you, was not a pleasant experience for me.
Are you kidding me?
My therapist will be kept busy for years. During this week, we had an online meeting to discuss this week's show, and he showed me, he allowed his cat to show me its ass. The cat jumped up in front of the camera, and I said, if that cat, and sure enough... So I just want you to know, folks, what it is I have to contend with here. This man has.
You just became an instant kitty gynecologist, let's put it that way.
A proctologist, to be more exact. So I am traumatized. Mr. Shannon has traumatized me in ways that you folks can't possibly believe.
All right. Oh, my.
All right, enough of the fun and games and the cat's ass.
Cry me a river.
Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. I have sound effects, but you can't hear them, so.
Exactly. And I kind of like it that way. I'm totally kidding there.
All right, so we, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, John and I, and again, something we don't normally get together and discuss what it is we're going to talk about. We just kind of let it flow. But in this particular case, we wanted to map out the major topics that we wanted to touch on. John had his, I had mine. I am going to defer to my cat-ass-showing co-host here to get the party going. And would you like to bring your kitty?
Okay.
Would you like to bring your kitty in?
Right now the kitty is sleeping somewhere, so I think we're safe.
Would you like to see my aunt? No.
No. Anyways.
So let's start off where wherever it is you want to start. Do we want to start off with on the driver's side?
Well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to break it down, I believe, into three parts here. First off, things specifically that that drivers can and should be doing. The second part is in equipment, because that falls in some instances on the driver, but also sometimes if you're driving a company car, it also falls on the onus of the cab company. And then third, it's more company, but it's some of the things that need to happen when you're thinking out of the box. And not all these are my ideas. Some of this stuff is I've seen happen in other parts of the country. For those of you who are unaware, let me give you a short resume. 34 years in this industry, most of it here in the Twin Cities, but I've also done Vegas, Orlando, Wichita Falls, and Corpus Christi, Texas, as well as a very short stint in Little Rock, Arkansas. So I have been in many places driving a cab. I've seen a lot at many companies. I think I sat down and figured it. In 34 years, I've been affiliated with 16 different cab companies.
That tells me one of two things about you. You are either a very, very experienced driver, or you just can't hold a job.
Here's the deal. I have a very, very small fuse when it comes to bullshit. I'm sorry, if something starts smelling like bullshit, I don't have any time to sit and deal with it, otherwise there will be victims involved.
Let's move on. I'll do the jokes around here. Moving on.
All right, so let's start with the drivers. And some of this shit, it really makes me mad, because this should be common sense. This should be common sense things here. And it obviously isn't, because you see it, you experience it, you hear people talking about it. But first and foremost, when it comes to drivers, cleanliness. Both on your person and in your car. One of the biggest complaints that I hear from customers, from some drivers, are the fact is that when they open up the door to get in the cab, the smell can literally knock you on your ass. I don't make a habit of getting into too many other cabs, so I don't know this firsthand. I try to keep mine clean. I try to keep my body clean, so I don't. So I'm not greeting people with a foul odor when they come in. I try not to eat foods where it might not agree with my system and get flatulence.
What it boils down to is take a shower every day, do your laundry, wear clean clothes, and give the customers at least that. Keep a can of Febreze or something in your vehicle, a little shot of that every couple of rides. People used to love the smell of my cab. Even when I smoked, I was able to mask it, because I was diligent about it. But, you know, look.
Yeah, and by the way with that, if you're one of these people that collects these goofy-ass little air freshener trees.
Stop it.
is so silly. I mean, if you're doing that, it's painfully obvious that you're trying to mask.
There's no point
whatever having, smell.
There's no point in having 20 of them hanging off your rearview mirror. My gosh.
Because 18 of them probably have no smell of whatsoever.
Right. Before we continue anymore, I just want to stipulate to a point here, and I think John will agree with me. One of the bigger problems, overriding issues, is the fact that most drivers are in this for the very, very short term. And they're not looking or considering or even caring about down the line. And this is another big issue, is the rogue cab drivers, which are these guys who know they're not going to be around long. Some of us are lifers. Some of us made that decision at some point, okay, this is what I'm doing. So we're looking at how we treat the customers, et cetera, et cetera. But the bigger problem, the bigger issues, is the rogue drivers. So that's stipulated. That's a problem that falls down to individual drivers. Let's move on.
And we can cover that a little bit later on as far as rogue drivers goes. I have my ideas on that. The other thing, if you're sitting on a taxi stand and it's a warm summer day out, keep your ugly ass feet inside the window. Nobody wants to see you sitting back and hanging your feet out the window. It is disgusting. It is totally unprofessional. You know, if you need to get out and stretch your legs, get out and stretch your legs. Walk around the cab a couple of dozen times. Whatever. Don't just lay back and recline and put your feet out the window. And it's crazy. I can't believe that I still see that. I hate to say it, but sometimes I can believe it. You know, it's slow. You probably picked a slow cab stand to sit on. But no. Yeah, what are you ringing? What are you ringing your ear?
Moving on. Let's move on.
Oh, come on. We got time we haven't used yet.
We got a lot to cover.
The other thing is when you're driving, clean up your driving habits. And that is when you have a passenger and when you are just driving out on the streets. Let's first off cover when you have a passenger. You are taking your customer from point A to point B. You are not there to provide a thrill ride. You're not there to dodge in and out of traffic, try to show your best NASCAR moves. Your job is to get that passenger to their destination in a safe and efficient manner. People, you've got to realize the anxiety there is with people who are sitting in your back seat. They're riding with a complete stranger. And I don't care if you're the most skilled driver in the world. Yeah, Ed raises his hand. Bullshit! I don't care if you're the most skilled driver in the world. That person in the back seat doesn't know you from Adam. And just chill out a little bit. You know, drive professionally. Use your turn signals. Don't sit there and lay on the horn trying to get around somebody, you know, unless it's an obvious situation. You know. It's road rage.
Yeah, if you believe safety is for suckers, you're in the wrong business.
Exactly. As far as when you don't have a passenger, you still need to be operating that vehicle in a safe, sane manner. After all, you are driving a rolling billboard. Amen. A, for the company that you're affiliated with, and in the larger term, for this industry in general.
And by the way, don't think for a second that contract you signed with the company that you're operating with does not have a clause in there that says you will not do anything to defame the good name of that company. More or less
exactly.
a morals clause. So you are representing the company, and you're representing yourself. And as I was taught many years ago, no job is worth, no call is worth a ticket or an accident. Yeah, we've all had our lead foot moments, but those days are gone. We live in an age of video cameras all over the place, including in everybody's pocket. So you have to be very aware of that.
Exactly.
I'm going to take one here, John. If somebody gets in your car, the problems in your life are not their fault, okay? Like John said, you're a complete stranger to these people. And even if you pick them up a couple times, some days you're not up to it. I get that. But this is much a show. It's customer service. How are we doing today? Good, good. Where can we go? Where are we off to today? Excellent. Very good. Are you here visiting somebody or you're local? You strike up a conversation. They don't want to talk, don't talk. And that's all fine and well. But you never know what you're going to get out of somebody. I've got the majority of my personal clientele comes from conversations like that. And you just don't know what you're going to find out. Hey, man, we got a whole bunch of us are going out to the casino or some other long ride, depending on where you are. We're going to need about 4 cars. So if you're in the area, bang, you just got an inside tip on a big job for later on. You know, talking to people, it's... And again, your problems with your life are not their fault. If you're pissed off, go home. As John likes to say, go home, take a bath, and kick the cat. Kick John's cat, actually. Right in the ass. I've seen it. It's a big target.
And one of the other things, quite frankly, when you have a passenger in your car again, keep off the goddamn phone. Now, there are people that you can argue, I'll argue the point as far as phone, cell phone safety, being driving driving when you're on the phone. I can argue that till the cows come home. But stay the hell off of your phone. A lot of drivers who especially, know other languages and talk to whoever they're talking to in that language. You know what? That is very, when it comes to that person in the back seat and you're talking in Swahili to your friend, your buddy, your wife, whatever, that passenger in the back seat doesn't know what you're talking about. Get off the goddamn phone. How would you like it if you went into a restaurant and your server walked up to you with phone in hand and was chatting with their friend and...
With the finger up. 1 second.
One second. Yeah, I'll get right back to you. Yeah, yeah.
It's about
customer service.
I describe it this way. I'm barely interested in the details of my life. I know my customers are not. If my phone rings and I have it set up, it's piped through the vehicle and all that. It's all hands-free. Depending on who it is, I'll do a quick answer. Can I call you back? Yes. Especially if it's a customer. I found that people in the car, they're okay with that. Most people say, go ahead and have the call. No, I'm not. I'll call them back. I'll get a hold of them. You know, and again, because my life, I'm not interested in my life. Believe me, you're not. Let's let's move on. Credit cards. Take the goddamn credit cards.
No, yeah, that should be cut and dry.
Just stop that. This is the world we live in now. People are paying with credit and debit cards. Whatever it is, your company charges you, okay? If you're not happy with that, then you need to go find something else to do. There are costs associated with processing a credit card. And I'll tell you what, my experience was once we started accepting credit cards, people started going on longer rides and bigger tips. Sometimes, not always. Sometimes they're taking a $4.50 ride, and you're paying $1 for the administrative. Suck it up. It's like money to you. Oh, wait a second. You owe the company money? Too bad. They're going to keep it on you. Pay your fucking bills. Pardon my language. That's one that's always burned me. Next.
By the way, have we not mentioned? And don't give an attitude about it. You know, don't do this bullshit. Oh, my credit card processor isn't working. Yeah. Yeah. It says all over your cab that you accept credit cards.
That's right.
If you know, don't try to bullshit people. Seriously. All right, where should we go with now? Vehicles.
Vehicles. I think that's kind of touchy depending on who you're talking to, because some guys lease vehicles and I don't have a choice of what they're driving. I think we both agree, based on our conversation the other night, the Crown Victoria has seen its day. It's time for that too. Yes, we all love an 8-cylinder rear-wheel drive vehicle, but they ain't out there anymore. They're
you know, it's available. Yeah. How many people still run with Crown Vics down your way?
Fair number. The company, a lot of them do because they're cheap. Well, they were cheap to buy. Uh-huh. But of course, the newest Crown Vic on the road right now is the 2011. That was the last year they were made. So we're coming into 6-7 year old vehicles, and you know, at this point, very soon they'll all be off the road. Because
it can't be soon enough.
Well, I agree with you because it is the least comfortable vehicle I've ever ridden in the back seat of.
And the thing is, in Minnesota here, where we deal with a little bit of weather, anybody right now that's driving a rear wheel vehicle, you know how people up here try to operate Crown Vics, a rear wheel drive vehicle. They put about 150 to 200 pounds of sand in the back end of the car just to have some semblance of control.
Wow.
Come on. There are vehicles that if you drive in a climate or in a city where climate is going to be an issue, where you have all four seasons, you do need a vehicle that can handle that. And quite frankly with that, you know, if you're an owner-operator, you know, get some actual good tires on that thing. We don't need, again, that goes back to the thrill ride. We don't, you know, customers get a little nervous all of a sudden if you start losing control of the vehicle because, you know, your tires are not sufficient. But above all, it's time to put the Crown Vics to bed. Seriously, you had your time.
I agree with you completely on that. And with that, let's take this opportunity now to move into more of what the companies and the industry can do.
Yes, absolutely.
Now,
you go ahead first.
Okay. Well, overall, I firmly believe that the business model has to change. And along with that is the attitude towards drivers. The way things operate now, most companies, not all, but most companies, okay, it's a lease model where your drivers are leasing either the vehicle or dispatch or both, depending on the combination. So we need to move away from that. It has to be a pay-per-play situation now because drivers, you can no longer expect, as the situation is here in Broward County, you can't expect the driver to show up every week, pay you $400 or $500 for what at best might be questionable service on your part. And I'm speaking internally between driver and the company. We're leaving the passengers out of this for the moment because they ultimately come into it, obviously. But you've got to change the industry. I'm speaking to the entire taxi industry. You've got to change how we deal with drivers. Some drivers are morons. I get that. Okay, and we need to turn them over, get them out as soon as possible. Give a guy a chance or two, and then move on. We need to go to where it may not be feasible to do a straight percentage on calls, although most companies now have a computer dispatch. They're using a tablet. They know exactly when the meter's here in Broward County, Yellow Cab. The meter is on the tablet now. So theoretically, Yellow Cab can look at every call that was dispatched and see how much was run on that meter and take their percentage out of there. Of course, that leads to the problem of drivers turning the meter off halfway through. But there is a solution to that. Let drivers buy blocks of time. I want to be on the dispatch system for 4 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours. The more time they buy, the cheaper it is per hour. Cab companies need to have skin in the game when it comes to the individual dispatch calls. You're looking at me like I just...
No, said. No, you're right.
And because now on the presumption that all the drivers own their cabs, it's not a busy week. I don't want to go out today. Why should I have to pay? Right now, the system is you pay for the car. It can sit there all week. It doesn't matter. You're paying for that car. You're paying for that dispatch that you're never going to use. So that needs to be.
You know, unfortunately, and what that, I hate to say it, but what that is basically the Uber business model.
It's a version of it. I've talked about it before on the show. That's where I stand on that. I mean, I firmly believe that we need to change how we do business with each other, between the companies and the drivers. Companies don't want to hear this. They want to get paid up front the full monthly. Sure, we all do. But what is it you like to say about those medical rides that you do? 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Yes, that is true. But one of the problems I could see with this with that particular model, the pay as you play type model, is and like you've said, you've made no bones about this. It would mean that there were basically owner operator vehicles. You could not do that practically with lease vehicles, and I still think that lease vehicles are a very important part of the industry here. And companies will never go for this whole idea, oh, well, you can lease my car for X amount of hours. You choose or blocks of hours. I just don't think they'd ever go for it. I'm sorry, what?
I said I agree. It's not ideal, but there's a lot of smart people out there that could figure out how
to. Yeah, there are people that are smarter than me could probably figure that out. That's true. I do know one particular company who experimented with the idea for a while of going with three shifts, a morning, an afternoon, and what was known as the dog shift. And the thing is people didn't, I don't think it was very popular because, you know, the overnight shift, you know, if you had maybe one or two cars out only, covering the business, well, then those drivers would have to would be responsible for having to cover an entire city or an entire area, and that it's just not a. I just think it's a good business model, and drivers weren't making any money, so they abandoned that. I think there's a reason why those companies that go through shifting cars do it that way, because you want to give each driver an equal part of the busy hours, if and when there are quote unquote busy hours.
No, you want to maximize your equipment that's available to you so that you can cover your customers. Now, yeah, again, that's part of the business model that I think may be time to go in some way, shape, or form, because you have to give drivers an option on whether or not, you know, is it worth them coming out? It may be one of the quietest weeks, you know, and why come out if there's nothing going on? If you need coverage, hey, look, there's texting. The company can say, hey, we need cars on the road. You get in, you sign in. All right, I'll sign in for 4 hours. 4 hours cost me, we'll say $30, whereas 12 hours would cost me $60.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 hours would be $40. Again, I'm $50. So I'm going to try and get the most bang for my buck. I'm going to go out for 4 hours, hump it. Hopefully I'll make all my money back. But now it's on me. Or I can just, you know, I'll pay for the 12 hours. I'll stick it out as long as I can. And you know, then the company's getting more money and they have more coverage.
You're right, though. The company does need to have a little bit more skin in the game, and
absolutely.
You know, quite frankly, again, I tout the company that I'm affiliated with. I don't like to say that I work for, because I am still my own boss, so I don't necessarily work for a company per se. Let's in answer to, I saw your question. In answer to your question, let's cut that idea in half. Let's go 90. All right. We're going to have an extended show. We're going to tack on an extra 30 minutes to the end here because obviously we are, because we're only really about maybe a third of the way through the list here. So let's get to the list here again. The next thing that, and this is again on companies and drivers too, embrace the technology. Right now we are in the 21st century. People like using their cute little phones, their cute little smartphones or cute little iPhones. They love the idea of getting a ride. All they have to do is tap an app and their ride appears. As a service company, as I understand it, these apps are not all that hard to come up with, to develop. I don't know. I'm not a developer. I don't know this for a fact. But you need to embrace the technology as a cab company. The days of there are still, and when I say embrace technology, there are still cab companies that still use voice dispatch, if you can believe it or not. When was the first time I actually had a computerized dispatch system? I'd have to say it was probably in the early 90s, I think, is when I first started working with a, it was crude at the time. It didn't employ GPS technology, obviously, but a computer will always be able to dispatch calls quicker, more efficiently, and quite frankly, more fair than voice dispatch. So that's the first part, the first step. Second step, again, is in the, as far as the community, consumer base. Consumers, like I said, like the idea of being able to tap apps. Okay, if you don't necessarily have an app, put it out there that you accept text messages, that your company, all they have to do, the customer has to do is send a text. Our company employs a system where if they text something specifically, MSP1, MSP2, that goes through our dispatch system that somebody needs a cab at Terminal 1 or Terminal 2 at the airport. That's all they have to do. A quick automatic generated message comes through, says such and such, we will thank you for your order. We will be there to pick you up at the prearranged taxi stand at Terminal 1. Very, very neat, efficient technology use there. It isn't all about the smartphones, but I still say, like I said, I think they're fairly easy to develop. Why not use them? Why not, if you can do so, do it. Ed, you look like you're totally perplexed there.
No. I've been just listening intently and waiting for you to come up for air.
My rants are different. I don't sit and scream.
You should try it. It's rather therapeutic. But getting back to, touching back to, you mentioned the first time that you used a computerized dispatch system. I had the honor of the using the very first one in the taxi business. The system that Yellow Cab implemented back in 1988, we shared it with two other companies, one in Richmond, Virginia, one in Long Beach, California. To this day, we still share data with these companies. There's more companies involved in this system. But we were one of the first one of the first three taxi companies to employ this type of system. And matter of fact, the data terminals we use to come out of trucks, that's
Was that a Gandalf system?
I have no idea. No, I don't think
so. Okay.
So anyway, so that being said, that kind of goes into the bigger issue of a national presence, if you will. Let's talk briefly about Uber, although this is not about Uber specifically. Uber has one thing that you can't put a price on, and that's name recognition. Uber is used as a noun, as a verb. We took an Uber to the club. We're Ubering to the club, etc., etc. It's becoming the generic for traveling in a four-door car, just like Xeroxing has become generic.
Kleenex. Have a Coke.
I'm going to get in the jacuzzi.
Yeah.
All jacuzzis are hot tubs, not all hot tubs are jacuzzis.
Exactly.
Those are all brand names that have made it into the common vernacular. And Uber hit on a good one. I mean, you can't fault them for that. They hit on a good one. So, as I've mentioned on the show before, and I say almost on a daily basis to people, the number one issue right now with the taxi industry is the fact that it is so fragmented, which Uber has used successfully against it. Not just state to state or even city to city, but within the city you have various companies that cannot or will not work together. There are regulations that have...
Regulations are different in many areas, exactly. In many cities, even within the same state.
Exactly. So now you've got the situation where... I lost my train of thought. I have notes.
I think what he's trying to say is that the taxi industry is very fragmented.
Yes.
As far as
I know where I'm going with that.
How things run. Go ahead.
When you step off a plane, whether it be in Detroit, Denver, Dubuque, Des Moines, Dallas, it doesn't matter. You open up the Uber app and boom, it's the same no matter where you go. Now I land in Minneapolis Airport, and I want to use my favorite taxi company. But I forget what my favorite taxi company is because I'm only there once every 6 months on business. Which company is that? Oh, I got to find their app. Now I got to download their app. There could be six different apps in the same city for taxi cab companies. Which app do you want to download? And this industry needs to put together all its resources, develop a national app. It needs to... part of that is going to have to be civil disobedience. They have to start cherry-picking through the laws and the regulations that no longer work or that have made it unsustainable, the very chains that are around the industry's neck that Uber so gleefully walks away from. Look, all the local corrupt officials aren't going to make any more money anymore. 36 states have statewide regulations as far as TNCs are concerned. The local people are out. Yeah, the state people are still open for corruption, but they don't really care what happens in St. Paul on a daily basis. So it's going to take a lot more money to get them involved. So what the taxi companies have to do is suck it up and just say, you know what? We're not going to renew our licenses this year. We're just going to operate. Here in Broward County, the county no longer inspects cabs. The companies do it. Everything is self-regulated now. So why are we paying to have permits? Why are we abiding by these rules, and to the point that it's difficult to compete?
We self-regulate as well. You bring up a good point with that. Not self-regulate, but self-inspect.
Right.
But I was sitting here and figuring it here with our company alone, that our company at $400 per sticker. They're not medallions in St. Paul. They're stickers. It's a permit to operate.
Yeah, that's what we have.
And they're non-transferable. But the company pays $400. Well, either the company or the owner-operator pays $400 per year for that sticker. And for what reason? Why are they paying that? Here in St. Paul, you know what? In downtown St. Paul, we have two major hotels, the St. Paul Hotel and the Intercontinental Hotel. two big hotels. Those are the only ones where taxis have a tendency to stage at. And you know what? Those particular hotels, they've got, besides Uber coming in there, they have their favorite drivers. They have black cars. They have all these other different sorts of transportation where they totally bypass the taxis that are sitting there anyways. So tell me again, why the hell are we, what are we getting for our money when it comes to these permits? These same municipalities who took their bribe money and rolled over like a little puppy who's getting their tummy scratched for Uber when it came in.
Because Uber showed up and behaved like your cat, they showed their ass. Here, that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
That's right,
so
I'm not going to cover that.
I totally agree with you as far as that civil disobedience idea. Go ahead.
There's nothing to lose at this point. I mean, I can understand when the whole process was going on here in Broward County. Now, and I was involved deeply in it, and I spoke to the president of the company on a regular basis. And I went to all the meetings, et cetera. And I knew why we went through the procedure. Because you want to do it the right way. And step by
exactly.
step, here's how we have to do it. Well, at this point now, it's over. It's over. The only thing that anybody could possibly be waiting for now will be Uber's ultimate demise. Which, remember, you heard it here first. It's going to come. Sooner than later. And once that happens, it'll be easier for the taxi companies to rebound. Because you won't have this big Goliath.
You'll wind up having Lyft. You'll wind up having maybe a couple of other startup ride shares that come along.
Smaller companies to contend with. Now, even still at that point, the cab companies are going to have to change their MO. They're going to have to start looking at you know, how they dispatch, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, the TLPA, by the way, the Taxi Limousine Paratransit Association, needs to go away. They had their opportunity a couple of years ago to really coalesce. See, I get to use it. Coalesce all these companies and the entire industry and get people on the same page and get national or at the very least regional solutions.
Yeah.
To some of these issues. Instead, they're more concerned about, let's have our convention in Hawaii this year. Let's go here. Let's go there. That seems to be all I've ever seen them. You go to the website, that's really all it is where the next damn convention is.
Yeah, and can you believe how expensive that damn convention was? Have you seen? They're in Denver, I believe, this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And I thought about it. I said, well, you know what? It might not be a bad little getaway for a day or two. No, it is not. And you ask yourself, well, why? Where is that going to? Where is that? That money is all profit as far as that organization is concerned. And they're not really doing a very good job of representing drivers. I don't believe, at least. I think they're just out there blowing their horn. No different than you and I out here blowing our horns about the industry. They just have more money to do it with.
Where did you get the impression that they're out for the drivers?
It's a good ruse. Let's put it that way.
That's not a driver organization. That's for the companies.
Well, but it all eventually filters down to the drivers. Let's face it.
Right. It does, but only because, look. Uber has this attitude. They're just a little bit more upfront about it. Most cab companies view the drivers as just another piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, overall. And but no, don't for a second believe the TLPA is interested in what the drivers have to say. Because we'll make more. There's always guys out there looking to drive a cab. Well, at least there used to be.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there used to be. The list is starting to dry up a little bit of individuals that want to drive cab. Now, again, I will again point to our company. We have, it's funny, we actually have a lot of applications, or where drivers have used to drive for Uber applying for to us. And I, for one, mentioned it once to the owner of the company. If you put Uber on your application, see ya. Go drive for one of the shitty companies in town. Because there's got to be a reason why you're no longer driving for Uber.
It could just be because they're not making any money.
Well, that could be, but...
Honestly, and that's... Look, as far as that's concerned, you got to look at Uber as the minor leagues of taxi driving, if you will.
Yeah. Maybe you're right.
Some guys say, you know what? I kind of like doing this, but I'm not making any real money. And it's too much hassle, and I don't want to drive my own car anymore. Look at what I'm doing to my own car.
Oh, my God.
You know, so they go to the cab company, and let's give it a... I wouldn't out of hand dismiss anybody just because they drove for Uber.
That's a personal axe, okay, quite frankly. I admit it. That's a personal axe I'm grinding there.
I'm not saying... So. Look, I'm not saying all... Uber drivers are worth the time of the effort. I'm just saying you can't just, you know, paint with that wide of a brush.
Well, and I guess if they come into our company and deal with the training involved, which, by the way, let's take that as the next step for taxi companies.
Before we do that, just a reminder, kids and kittens, we'd love to have you join us in the conversation. We're going to stay on an extra half an hour here. We'll do a station ID at the top of the hour, and we'd love to have you contact us via Skype. Just search for Radio TFI. If you don't have a Skype account already, get one. It only takes a minute or two.
And it's free.
And it is free. That's right. All this is free. Free opinions. I got a whole box of opinions that I'm just waiting to give to you and talk to you about. I got tons.
Open up the can.
Oh, I tell you what. And I've got a special six-pack of rants, so I'm always ready to crack open a rant whenever.
Exactly.
Whenever.
But now, this is one thing that I have to say our company does a real good job with up here is training. Mm-hmm. We have a three-day training course, and before you even get considered, you have to know at least a little bit about what you're doing. You have to at least know some of the major landmarks, some of the major streets that are going through. You just don't walk into our company and say, here I am, here's $500, give me a cab. It doesn't work that way.
Anymore.
We have training anymore. Yes, this is true. I'll spare you what I did when I first walked into a cab company. They pretty much handed me the keys. So you want to drive a cab here? Here are the keys. And the best part about that was that at the time, their company required that you, the insurance regulations required you need to be 21. Uh-huh. I was only 20 at the time.
Yeah, you were close.
So, yes, training. Invest the time to train these drivers and let them know what your company expects from these drivers. Let them, you know, granted some guys sleep through these classes, but at least as a company, you have done your level best to try to put the most qualified drivers on the road. It doesn't always work that way, but I think it helps. And then once you do that, you have a support system where somebody can call and say, well, how do we do this, or how is this supposed to go? Why is this happening? We have people that you can either call or email. It's a department that's called Driver Services, specifically where drivers can call in to the company to ask about a flat rate, ask about why is this happening? Why am I not getting this call? Why this and that? They don't call into dispatch. They are told not to call into dispatch. They call this line the driver services line.
That's an excellent idea, by the way. I like that. I like that. Before, look, here in Broward County, it's 2 days of training. Plus, I don't know if they still have to take the little road test, but I mean, a lot of it is company procedure and how to operate the dispatch system, et cetera, et cetera. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to take a brief break here just at the top of the hour. We're going to be back in about 15 seconds. You found Radio TFI. This is our unprecedented second hour. John Shannon and I, Ed Van Ness, we're solving all the problems of the cab industry. Welcome aboard. Hour two. Go ahead, John.
Half hour two.
Well, we'll see how it goes. It's still the second hour.
Oh, wow. First time we've done overtime.
Yes.
Gotta love it. So we picked up where we left off, or where we left off here was training. Training and following up with that training. And I think this is important because there are a lot of drivers that, quite frankly, come into this industry as they're fairly new to this company. One of the first things they come to learn to, or come to do when they come to this country is they want to drive a cab. I don't know why that is, why they migrate to this industry, but that's what they want to do. And the worst thing you can do is set out an individual in that kind of situation, just hand them the keys and tell them to go. That's the worst damn thing you can do. So training and follow-up, by all means. And drivers should actually pay attention to this class. There's some good shit being decimated there. Excuse me, not decimated. Whatever. Told.
I got to say, I like the idea. I've always liked the idea of, well, you folks are calling driver services. I've always said one of the most underutilized resources that at least this cab company has is its veteran drivers. It's a wealth of resources, of experience. There's nobody in the office at Yellow Cab that has ever actually driven a cab.
And that's sad.
It is sad. And I've suggested that in the past. I said, why not have, you know, make drivers available? I said, I'm happy to do it. And this is when I was running my cars, and I wasn't on the road on a regular basis. I said, look, I'm in my office more often than not. You know, I'd be more than happy to. You want to send guys up to talk to me? They have questions? I'm happy to do it. For me, exactly. I saw it as a benefit to the... I was looking long term. You know, the more... Even whether they were driving for me or not. But anyway...
It didn't matter if they were driving your car or company car or whatever it was.
It's all for the betterment of the company. All right. So, again, that's a wonderful idea. I think that's a wonderful... driver services, strictly for drivers, you know, for those questions. We have something similar, but it's not really, and it's never really been that, not a dedicated helpline, which is essentially what we're talking about here, is a dedicated
exactly.
helpline. And, you know, again, this comes back to treating the drivers as they for what they are, which is the customers of the taxi companies. And the taxi industry needs to slap itself. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that, let's face it, Uber's days are numbered. I said that earlier. But now taxi companies need to prepare basically to pounce when it does. It's difficult now. You've got guys that are scraping by to make a living, not everywhere, but in a lot of places. So to ask guys to stick around longer, it's a big ask. I still believe October of 2018, it'll be all done by then. But once it does happen, the companies need to be prepared to pounce and be prepared to change their attitudes. They need to do that now. Change your damn attitude towards drivers. And I just can't. It's something that's bugged me for years and years and years. We're not the enemy. Drivers are not the enemies. And, you know, you do what you got to do to keep your company's good name afloat and all that. But for goodness sake, don't sit there and pretend problems don't exist, which is what happens here in Broward County. Our company will sit there and just flat out deny that there's issues and there's problems. And they wonder why they...
Well, they're finding out the hard way that there are our issues and problems.
Well, not only that, well, they still don't care. That's why I'm not with them anymore. That's
well, they'll care when they don't have any paying, anybody, people, any people paying.
Right.
They'll find out then when they go out of business. Well, and yes, taxi companies are going out of business.
Yes, they are.
I backtracked just a little bit here, but here in St. Paul, a company that was one of the best companies in the city as far as taking care of the everyday Joe Blow customer, taking the little old lady to the beauty shop, picking up people at grocery stores, taking care of that little bread and butter business. They went out of business because, quite frankly, they wouldn't embrace technology. They were pig-headed as far as listening to anybody outside their little circle. And now, quite frankly, they're gone. They're done. I drive by their office every once in a while, and it's sad because you still see a couple of old cabs that have been stripped. You know, still have the numberings, you know, and the stickers on them, but top lights have been taken off, and weeds are growing in the lot now. It is a sad, sad picture.
And there's going to be a lot more of that.
And again, exactly.
It's up to the industry as a whole to make the changes that need to be made. Look, it's a different world now. Forget the fact that Uber and Lyft are operating illegally without insurance. It's time for us to do not so much work without insurance, but it's time for the taxi industry again. A little civil disobedience. Be willing to pay some fines for drivers, but let's face it, in most municipalities, people don't care about what the cabs are doing. They find them a nuisance. A lot of police departments view taxi cabs as a nuisance until they have a drunk or an abusive somebody that they want to get off the scene.
Exactly.
And that's not all police officers. I'm referring to police departments in general.
Yeah. Well, here in the Twin Cities, the police don't do anything to enforce taxi ordinances. It's completely on the regulators.
Right.
And the regulators, they'd be lucky if they have one car riding around. Most of the time, they're on their ass in the office.
Right.
So and they're not only regulating the taxi industry; they're regulating other industries
mechanics
as well.
Yeah. That's what we put up with. And you know, there's no, it's pointless anymore. So, again, I'll refer to Collier County across the other side of the state from me. Back in December of 2015, they just said, hey, the hell with it. And they just got rid of all their ordinances. All you need now to operate a for-hire vehicle there is a driver's license. There's no particular insurance. There's no particular, you know what? Do your thing, kids. Charge what you want to charge, and that's your race to the bottom. And that's what we're in right now. But even if Uber goes away tomorrow, the taxi industry still, the problems that they have are not going to go away. Okay? You can't have people answering the phone that don't give a flying rat's behind at all, telling people it'll be an hour, it'll be 2 hours. You don't know where these cars are. Stop giving ETAs that you can't possibly give. And yes, most people are happy with apps now. I'll said it before, I'll say it again. Yellow Cab of Broward has a great app. If you don't believe me, download Ride Yellow. It's a great app. It really, really is. Their original app sucked with a stupid name, but they got a better name. Not a great name, but a better name.
We should probably move on to the list, otherwise we're going to burn up this half an hour. Now, this is going to be a point of contention, and this might be where some drivers who are listening are going to turn on the off switch. I personally believe that at the current rate of gas prices, I think that taxi fares, at least in my community, I don't know about other parts of the country, I think that taxi fares are too expensive. When we were paying gas prices upwards of $4 a gallon, they raised here in Minneapolis, they raised the top rate to $2.75 per mile. And everybody was saying, well, you know, thank you, Minneapolis. We appreciate that. It's, we're not going to starve because we're putting you know, $30 to $40 in gas in our cars every time we fill up the cars. Right now, folks, gas prices are anywhere between $2, $2.10, $2.25. The most I've seen here in the Twin Cities has been like $2.39. We're still a long way away from that $3.75 mark per gallon. We need, folks, we need to break or lower these prices. And we need to advertise it. We need to, as an industry, say, okay, fine. We're never going to get that. We're not going to sell ourselves out like Uber drivers do. But the idea is I think, at least in my area, that I could survive on $2 per mile as opposed to $2.75 per mile. Might not sound like a lot, but if you got people taking longer rides, airport rides, you know, that extra 75 cents a mile adds up quickly. And it's time that taxi companies realize that one of the reasons that people are riding Ubers as opposed to riding in cabs is the price. And I'm sorry. Ed mentioned it earlier. I'm a firm believer in the whole adage that 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing. So we need to get out there, let people know, okay, fine. Now, a lot of companies, mine included, have the ability, again, with these digital meters, to be able to set a rate right from the office of the cab company. There's no more of this having the Centerdyne meter where you have to literally take it apart to be able to adjust the rates.
The silence
again, embrace the technology. Okay, Ed, I know you you're sitting back there. I know you got something to say about this.
Oh, I can't agree with you more. Recently here in Broward County, the county commissioners finally got off their dead asses and made it feasible for cab companies now to be able to adjust their rates. There's still a maximum. What the current rate is the maximum, but now drivers can now flat rate customers, which by law we couldn't do earlier, or they couldn't do earlier. So there's that flexibility now. They can go down as low as they need to go, but, you know, so, for instance, at this time of year, well, you lower the prices a little bit, maybe generate a little bit more business. Summer's our quiet time. In the winter, you bop it back up a little bit. Supply and demand. You know, there's nothing wrong with supply and demand. That's right. The way business goes.
As long as you don't gouge.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
AKA surge pricing.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's a lot of it comes back to you. You have to try and beat them at their own game. Again, some companies may be just thinking, oh, hell, we'll just wait it out. And they're not wrong because, well, Uber will go away. This whole concept is not going to go away. So taxi companies.
Exactly.
But what is going to happen, and I promise you, and we will revisit this on the 10th anniversary of the Taxi Stand Hour on the big clip show that we're going to have.
Okay.
On our 10th anniversary. You will see at that point the people are demanding that all these TNC cars be identified some way. Hey, let's make them all the same color. You know what? You know what? Let's identify each car with I don't know. A number.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And you know what? We can put the app right up on the dashboard where people can see how much the ride has cost them. And let's get some real insurance on those cars. Oh, you know what we just invented? That taxi cab.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, we'll be back to that before you know. Because there's a reason we have the regulations that we have today. Now, do some of the regulations need to be tweaked? Absolutely. You know, things need to be revisited. And that's the good that will come out of this. But again, as long as, until the deep pockets of Uber, the freedom to bribe, And I don't think because Tionic is gone that that part of the company has gone away. You know, the people that are willing to throw money around. You're looking puzzled.
Nothing to do with this.
Oh, okay.
So
that's the problem with being able to see each other.
Yeah.
So the bribery and all that, I think, is going to slow down the corruption. Again, partially because it's all state, mainly state regulated now. Remember, Uber's got a ton of problems, a ton that we could do another 2-hour show just on their problems.
Exactly.
Which we won't. But the cab companies need to just accept where we are right now and give the drivers what they need to succeed. And what they need to succeed is not a system that was outdated in the 1980s. Okay?
No, that's right. Exactly.
It's something we discussed the other night, which I really don't, you were very big on it, is having the companies get more community involved, which is not a bad idea. Get the name out there.
I think it's really important to get involved in your community, to tell you the truth. I want to tell the rest of the listeners a story about a little cab company in Little Corpus Christi, Texas, who every year they will set aside a car, a fully functioning car. We're not talking about something that's operating on three wheels. It is something that every Christmas time, what they do is they have people submit their story, submit, you know, how many people they have in their family, how tough it is for them to get by. The fact that the husband works 20 miles away from work and it takes him three buses and 3 hours to just get to his job. So what this company has done is once a year, come Christmas time, they flat out give away a used taxi. Now this taxi, like I said, it's not a BMW or anything like that. It's a workable car. Some people would refer to them maybe as a beater, but it's a functioning car, and it's a car that can get you from point A to point B, get you to work, get you to the grocery store, get you maybe to be able to take your kids to the park every once in a while. It is such a great idea, and I am really surprised that more companies and that you don't see this more often in different communities. Another thing that you can do, quite frankly, is get behind other causes. Get behind here's one. Our company ran a pink cab for a while in support of the Susan G. Komen Foundation for breast cancer awareness. We have sponsored other causes. We have sponsored walks where people, whatever the cause may be. I believe it was one time for lung cancer or something like that. We sponsored a walk. Get involved in your community, and it's a good way to let you know. It's a good way to first off put your name out there. Secondly, it lets you know that you are being a good steward, in your community. I think that there may be no single more important thing in this day and age where we're trying to fight off predators. We need our community behind us, because quite frankly, what Uber has done is the traveler. We don't get very many travelers anymore coming in from other parts of the country. People just say, well, Uber works in Podunk, Kentucky, so I'll just use it when I come up here to Minneapolis. So we might have lost, at least for the time being, we might have lost that particular consumer. but we still have a community full of your own local population who also need to get from point A to point B, who also, quite frankly, go to the airport too. You need to start embracing that community.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I think that of all the things that we've talked about today, as far as what other than running clean and running cars, you know, well-running cars and having well-educated drivers, I think that the company being involved in their community may be the single most important thing.
I could not agree more. By the way, I hung on every word of the story about the car. I was riveted.
Sure you did.
You didn't see me get up.
You were out there trying to find a cat somewhere.
Yes. Getting back to or keeping with, you know, local stuff, let's keep in mind, boys and girls, that in general, the reputation of taxi companies and taxi drivers sucks. Now,
you're right.
There's a reason for that. Why? And it goes back to rogue taxi drivers, guys who don't care about the business. It's how much can I make right now? It's a $10 ride, but I think I can squeeze 13 out of you. Fine, then that's what I'm going to do. Get your own damn bags out of the trunk. And it is that kind of, and these stereotypes occur because they happen, and they're true. And look, I've battled this for years, and people are shocked that I speak the language and I know what I'm doing. And oh, look at that, I actually perform my job. And I know how to do my job, and I do it very well, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I've had, to pat my own self on the back, I've had a couple of people say, well, geez, if I had gotten you when I was using Yellow Cab, I'd still be using Yellow Cab if there were more guys like you that cared. You know, it is what it is, and then they get my personal business card here.
Yeah,
you can have me all the time because I'm cheap, I'm easy, and I can be. Well, I can't be bought, but I can be rented.
Sure, you can be bought.
No, I can't be bought, but I can be rented. I have a price.
Okay.
Oh, I definitely have a price. I'm a whore. There's no question about that. Driver incentive.
How many times? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. How many times have you got a customer that has told you that this is the A, cleanest cab? B, you're the nicest ride. This is one of the nicest rides I've ever had.
All the time.
Yeah, I was going to say.
All the time.
This is the safest ride I've ever had. This is the cleanest cab I've ever been in. And I don't necessarily think my cab is all that clean.
When people say to me, you're the nicest driver I've ever had, I say, I feel sorry for you then.
Yeah, no shit.
I'm a miserable fuck, to be quite honest with you.
Yep, pretty much.
A couple of the things that you and I hit on in the prep earlier this week. Well, one of them was driver incentives, and I'm not going to lie to you. I forgot where we were going with that. You mentioned something about if you pick up X number of rides, the driver gets.
Oh, let me. Yeah, I'll explain that out here.
I
apologize.
We got about 5 minutes, so.
Okay.
Unless you want to go the full hour.
No,
okay.
Uh-uh.
Fair enough.
My darling wife is up and she's ready to turn the TV on.
My love to Annie.
Oh, Ed gives his love. Anyways, our company, what they do is about 4 years ago, they instituted driver points. First off, you get a minimal. If you take a radio call, you get a minimal of 25 points if you take this call. If you arrive, now that's the base. And now if you dawdle to get to this call, that 25 could go to 20, could go to 15, could go to 5 if you're just taking your sweet ass time getting to the call. But it starts out at 20, it starts out at 25 points. If you go to a call and you get a no-show, you still get that 25 points because we think it's important that drivers get something.
Are not double punished.
Yeah, they're not exactly. If the call has been sitting on the board for a while, they'll increase that reward. They'll bring it up to 50 points. In some instances, they brought it up to as much as 100 points. In some instances, we've got this remote way out call that is just going, you know, it's going for a minimum because we have minimums out in our outer suburbs but nobody seems to want to get. We'll make it 500 points to go get this call. When the driver accumulates 25,000 points, which isn't as hard to do as you think, I'm running right now. I've cashed out points on four different occasions and am pretty doggone close to cashing out on a fifth occasion. The driver gets $250 cash. No questions asked. $250 cash to cash out those points. It is, again, a driver incentive. It makes these drivers love these driver points. They go out after calls, and their chief concern. Sometimes I tell them, okay, just do your job. The points will take care of themselves. But sometimes these guys just, you know, they value those points to an unbelievable level.
Well, it's money.
It is.
Well,
it adds up.
I've got one last thing on my list of things, and the fact that with us being in a customer service driven industry, and everything else that's gone on, here's the one thing that we've learned. If we've learned nothing else, every buck is a battle. We have to fight for every dollar now. And more important, it's easy to get a dollar. It's harder to keep it. And it's harder to keep customers coming back. So, you know, yeah, we all have our bad days and, you know, we don't want to deal with people. No, I really don't feel like picking up at the grocery store and carting 400 pounds of stuff up two flights of stairs. But you know what? I'm going to do it because it needs to be done and, you know, we've got to keep the business going.
Exactly. I totally agree, man. And these days, and as we get older, some of these things are hard to do. I mean, I'm getting to the point now where putting a 35-pound suitcase, even at that my size and my what I would assume my strength level, it's getting harder to put a large suitcase into the trunk. It is getting harder to assist people with their groceries up flights of stairs, but you know, you chose to get into what is supposed to be a customer service industry, and you need to provide customer service. Can I get one more thing? How much time we got left here?
You got a minute and change.
Okay, one other thing, company wide, we got to do is that we have to get out and start exploring other means of business, whether it be deliveries. Whether it try to tap into this these medical rides actually are very good business. And you know what they do? They spread the fleet out. I can pick up a call up in rural Coon Rapids, Minnesota, because just about 15 minutes ago, I dropped somebody from downtown Minneapolis out to that community, and now I'm available out there. It spreads your fleet out, and again, it pays, at least in our instance, it pays at a lesser rate than a standard meter. But, you know, again, 80% of something is better than 100% of nothing. And you absolutely need to explore these other avenues of revenue. And I'll truncate that right now because I'm sure we probably got less than a minute.
You got a little bit. I will say this. I want to thank everybody for listening in today. And I have four pages of notes right here. And we hit every point.
God damn, we're good.
We hit every point. And, boy, making a plan seems to work. That scares me.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do
that
shit.
Again.
It was just goofy and scary.
Exactly.
Hey, guess what's playing in my earphones right now?
I didn't hear that. What did you say?
Guess what's playing in my earphones right now?
Oh, that is the music.
That is the music. We are.
So I tell you what, you take it out the door because I can't hear the music, so... Rock on.
Well, say your goodbyes. And that's it. We're done for today. This has been the Taxi Stand Hour. I'm Ed Van Ness. That's John Shannon. He will be here next week. I will not. We will. Neither of us will be here on Labor Day weekend. We'll be back. Oh, it'll all be on the website. We appreciate you coming to play. John, you got a couple of seconds. John, you want to say anything?
Have a nice day.
See ya!